everyone. Thanks for joining me in this episode of What's Your Story, where we have conversations with storytellers who've made a powerful impact on pop culture and have truly inspirational stories to share with us. Today, I have with me Harsh Verma. He is from the 2017 batch of Haryana Cadre IPS Officer. He's an alumnus of St. John's High School, Chandigarh, and the Hindu College of University of Delhi. He has written an amazing crime thriller called The Velvet Hotline, which Ruskin Bond describes as an outstanding thriller. First of all, thank you, Harsh, for having this conversation with me.
Thank you, Manini. Thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Great. So, Ruskin Bond describes it as an outstanding crime thriller. So, that's high praise coming from Ruskin Bond. So, first, tell me a bit about your journey. What led you to write this book? And specifically, what led you to write a fiction book? Because what I've seen is many of your counterparts from the force tend to write a lot of non-fiction stories about their experiences, you know, in the field of crime or dealing with criminals. But you decided to write a fiction book. Please tell us about your journey.
So, Manini, I'll answer the second part of your question first, why I chose to write a fiction book. So, it all dates back to the year 2006. ITC had organized the nationwide contest, ITC Young Author Contest. And the judge, the main judge of that contest, as it so happens, was Ruskin Bond.
Right.
And I was one of the national finalists in that competition.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The short story I'd submitted at the time, it was a short story. It was a work of fantasy. It had nothing to do with what I'm doing now. But the point being that it was a work of fiction, and the fact that I'd made it to the finals told me that this was something I had a knack for. And I think it's quite something to realize you have a flair for writing or doing something at a certain age. Realizing that I had a knack for writing fiction, it was a revelation for me. And being good, it's a very nice feeling to be good at something. So, and that right. Validation at such a high level, it was a huge encouragement for me. After that, I started writing fiction. And as I wrote more and more fiction, I began to hone my skill set in this sort of writing. And since then, it's always been fiction I'm interested in. I understand that a lot of my counterparts, they write about their experiences or exciting adventures they've had during their service. I may get around to that at some point after I have more experience and seniority on the job. Now,
So tell me a little bit about that first story of a fantasy that you mentioned, that you wrote and that won the national level competition. I'm intrigued to know. What was that story about?
Yeah. Just a clarification. The details are a little fuzzy now, but I think it was about a little kid and he has some issues at home, and he spends as much time as possible daydreaming, and he hallucinates this entire world where there's a dream factory, a factory where dreams are made, and it's a Alice in Wonderland kind of journey through the looking glass. That's how it goes. I think the story ends with some sort of reconciliation between his father, the boy and the father. They have some kind of argument in the beginning of the story. This was a long time ago, but as I recall, that's how the story had gone. Dream factory.
Was this your first attempt at writing fiction? Was this story the first attempt, or have you always written?
No. I think this was my first attempt at writing fiction. Before that, my creative avenue of choice was doodling. I like to draw. So I used to make cartoons and comic strips. I still do now, but now my primary creative outlet is writing, and art is the subsidiary form of expression which I have.
Being a fantasy author myself, I'm really curious to know that story. It sounds really interesting. Dream Factory, it sounds fantastic. But tell me a little bit about your book, The Velvet Hotline. The title is quite intriguing. Why? Why is it called The Velvet Hotline?
Okay, so I'll tell you what the book's about first. Then we'll come to the title. So the book is about kindergarten teacher. Then when we have school summer vacations, she has a couple of months to herself, during which she volunteers at a suicide crisis hotline. Then she's a very kind-hearted and compassionate lady, because of which she learns very quickly and she's able to save a lot of people from committing suicide. Unfortunately, she's a little too good at her job, and over time, she begins receiving calls from a dead, unplugged phone in the voices of people who have already killed themselves.
Oh, wow.
So at this point, the story takes maybe a bit of a supernatural turn.
Mm-hmm.
Now coming later, why is it called the Velvet Hotline? The Velvet Hotline is the telephone. It's an old-timey, old-fashioned rotary phone on which these calls from the so-called dead people come to the protagonist. For the longest time, the book was called The Violet Hotline, but I like the title The Velvet Hotline more because it has a double alliterative punch in velvet, The Velvet Hotline. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of the title. So the hotline, the coil cord of the receiver, it has a velvet coating which enables the voices of the people to come through very clearly. That's the source of the title, The Velvet Hotline.
Oh, wonderful. So it's a crime thriller with a supernatural element to it. Is that correct? If I have to describe your book?
It is a crime thriller, without a doubt, because it deals with crime. Well, it deals with unhappy people. It deals with the law. It deals with stuff with seedy illegal activity. But it's not just that. It also has elements of noir. It has elements of a mystery. It has horror elements. It's more of a genre blender. Crime is definitely one of the dominant genres, but it's not the only genre.
Wow. So it's like a cross-genre book, if I have to say so. It has many, many different elements to it.
Correct.
Fantastic. I want to actually pivot a bit. You know, you have an illustrious career. So let me ask you, what made you join the force?
So recruitment to IPS happens through the civil services exam. Mm-hmm. It's a common joint entrance test for a number of services. The Indian Administrative Service, the Indian Foreign Service, the Indian Police Service, of which I am a member, the Indian Revenue Service, and so on and so forth. So I have a lot of family members in the civil services. My father was in the IAS. I had an uncle in the IRS. So I had a lot of exposure to this world and the kind of work that people within the service do. And this was very motivational and inspirational for me. And this was the kind of public service I always wanted to undertake myself. So the civil services exam seemed like a wonderful avenue for me. And I also had guidance from home. My father was always there to guide me. I think a lot of it boils down to the environment you are raised in.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, the environment was very conducive for me writing this exam. And I'm very thankful to be here. I really enjoy the work. I enjoy the kind of work we do.
Right. But now you have a very busy career, I'm assuming. Of course, it's correct, right? Like, it's to assume that your days will be so busy that when do you find the time to write?
Writing as a craft, I believe the secret to writing prolifically or completing your manuscripts is consistency. So If you can even eke out, say, half an hour a day and maybe just write one page a day, that means you will have one complete manuscript in a year. So while I don't get much time on a daily basis, I am consistent with it. So if I can squeeze out 15, 20 minutes, maybe after dinner, I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week. And on weekends or on relatively lighter days, I try to put in a couple of hours. Now, on the whole, on a daily basis, it may not seem like much. But when you put it together over weeks, months, and years, these do add up and these do give you a pretty decent literary output. And I think, given that I have such a busy schedule, which I do, I'm working till from morning 9 to 8, 9, if not even later in the evening, I'm lucky to squeeze out 15, 20 minutes a day. But I do make sure to get those 15, 20 minutes in because I know that every grain of sand is eventually going to fill up the hourglass.
Oh, that's fantastic. I share exactly what you said because even my aim is to try and write at least for 15 minutes, if not more. So let me ask you, do you have any writing rituals? Like something that you do to get into the mood of writing? Maybe you get a quiet space or you have a favorite pen or something that you feel like, no, I need to get into the zone of writing?
I think a lot of writers will not like my method, because a lot of writers are very old school. They like to write with a pen and a piece of paper. Then I'm very happy to write whichever way is possible. I'm very happy to write on my laptop, which is how I write most of the time. And occasionally, God forbid, I'm also willing to write on my phone. A lot of writers oppose this kind of approach to the literary medium, but I'm perfectly fine with it. As long as I'm getting the words out on paper or on a screen, it's all the same to me. I don't have any writing rituals anymore, simply because I can't afford them with my schedule. Ideally, I would have liked a quiet space. I would have liked, I don't know, a mug of hot cocoa or something. But I can't afford that anymore. I have to take what I can get. I have to, since time is always a constraint, I have to work around this constraint, because of which I can't really afford a ritual. I would like one, but I don't have one.
Okay, that's great. But that itself is a ritual, like what you just described. Find whatever way, make it work. Let me write. Right? It's a perfect advice for anyone who's struggling with time in their day, and who wants to write, who has the desire to write, but who's probably not finding the time the space or whatever they think they should do or have and get into the zone. But like you, doesn't matter. All of those are external factors. If you have the words within you, just let it flow for whatever time that you can. Fantastic. Okay, I want to ask you something else, like a pop culture question, you know? We have a lot of cop movies now, and we have a lot of movies now that has really upped the ante in terms of machismo. Specifically, the cop movies that are really high on the action, but maybe very low on the emotional aspect of that cop's life. Can you tell me what they get right, what they don't get right? Or do you agree with my analysis of the recent sort of spate of cop movies that we've had?
Right. So I remember that growing up, we had a lot of cop movies which were usually centered, which originated from the South. We had a lot of cop movies from Tamil and Telugu cinema. I remember Durga IPS and so on and so forth. I think it was Dabang which started the trend of cop movies in Bollywood, right? And there was Dabang, and after that, there were a lot of other movies. There was Rowdy Rathod, there was Suryavanshi, there was Singham. Singham is, of course, a big one. And I think there are two sides to the coin. On the one hand, I do agree these movies are very over the top. They are very high on machismo. They can be a little sexist, maybe a little, I don't know, the kind of values they promote are not exactly what you want to see from a cop movie. On the other hand, I think one good thing I appreciate about them is they get people interested in police work. Because of Singham, a lot of young men wanted to join the police force and help people, and that's always commendable. On the other hand, yes, these movies are perhaps not as nuanced as one would like, and you're absolutely right. Police work is not just about beating up goons. It's about empathy, it's about compassion, it's about public service, it's about sacrifice, and you do want to see that. I do wish cop movies had more nuance to them. I do wish they delved more into the emotional aspects. But I think that will happen once a genre becomes saturated, as is happening in Bollywood, then people start to deconstruct it, right? I think we will get more nuanced and more introspective cop movies in times to come. For now, I'll take it. If they are getting people interested in policing, it's perfectly fine with me. But I think the trend will change.
Fantastic. Okay, so now we move on to the next segment. We have a rapid fire segment where we ask you a bunch of questions just to get to know you, Arsh, the person, a little better.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Make the responses rapid. This is a familiar format. The whole of the country knows it, made famous by the director, Karan Johar. Okay, my first question. The last book you read.
The last book I read was A Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy.
Your favorite author?
Can I give three? Ruskin Bond, Khushwant Singh, J.K. Rowling.
Nice. Okay. You're a Potterhead. Harsh.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice to meet you. I'm a fellow Potterhead. I always feel happy when I meet a fellow Potterhead. Okay. What does reading mean to you?
Everything. Nice. Or okay, let's go with everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give me? Yeah, sure.
Lovely quote by James Cameron when he talks about creativity law of thermodynamics. You need to absorb before you radiate, right? And the same goes for writing. So you need to absorb as much as you can before you actually become a writer. And I think this is true for all aspiring authors in particular. You need to spend your teenage years reading as much as possible. What will subsequently happen is your own writing style, you won't have one yet. You won't have one in your teenage years. It will become this weird pastiche of 10 or 15 of your favorite authors. You won't quite have a voice of your own. But after that, once you're in your early 20s, that pastiche writing style you've developed will sort of collapse in on itself. Mm-hmm. And from those ashes, your new authentic writing style, your new authentic voice, which is you, will emerge. So I think reading is everything. It's the most essential skill an aspiring writer needs to develop.
Well, I don't think anyone could have put it better. Thank you so much for that response.
Thank you.
Can you give me some, three recommendations of a book that everyone must read? Can be fiction, nonfiction?
Sure. My favorite fiction book of all time is Perfume, The Story of a Murderer by Patrick Susskind. It's a lovely book. Then A Life of Pi. I find that book very inspirational. Jan Martel. And No Country for Old Men. It was made popular by the movie, obviously. The book is also fantastic. I love that book. Yeah.
Right. People have told me that book is kind of very dense. Is that true? So I've never really attempted to read it.
Actually, The No Country for Old Men is very accessible. It's Blood Meridian by the same author, which is very dense. And you need to take your time with it. You have to consume it one paragraph at a time.
Okay. Maybe I'll start with No Country for Old Men.
It is lovely, yeah.
Okay. Your favorite cop movie or TV show of all time?
My favorite cop movie, Hot Fuzz. My favorite cop TV show, Brooklyn 99 or Better Call Saul. It's more of a crime, but yeah, we can go with Better Call Saul. Yeah.
And I like Brooklyn 99 too. It's one of my favorites. What's your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food? Pasta with mincemeat in it. Yeah, I like the mincemeat. I like the texture of it.
What's your favorite travel destination?
My favorite travel destination, again, because of time constraints, I take Goa, ideally anywhere in South America.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite movie star?
My favorite movie star, Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm a huge fan of his work, especially in Lincoln, There Will Be Blood, My Left Foot. He's a chameleon. He's an incredible actor.
Okay, your favorite Indian movie star?
My favorite Indian movie star. I'm a big fan of Kangana Ranaut. So I know our politics is controversial and divisive, but in terms of pure talent, I don't think there's an actor or actress who can rival her. I think her work in movies like Queen or Tanu Vijmanu Returns is just outstanding.
Okay, if someone had to play you in a movie about your life, which star would you like to play you?
can I pass this one? I have no idea.
If you had like a biopic, which star would you like playing?
Leonardo DiCaprio. Fine.
Okay, but you need to give me an Indian star.
An Indian star, okay. A young Nasiruddin Shah.
Okay, Harsh. I hear you loud and clear. You don't want to name anyone contemporary. That's fine. Okay, what is a typical Sunday like for you?
Sleeping. I'm exhausted after the week. Yeah, sleeping. Maybe getting some writing, a couple of hours of work in the evenings, spending time with my family. I don't like to go out much. I'm a stay-at-home kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, your dream dinner guest?
my dream dinner guest. Alive or dead?
Can be someone who's dead as well. Anyone that you would love to meet. And have dinner with.
Dr. Kalam?
Okay, fantastic. So, I have last two questions for you. I want to start with asking you, what advice would you give to young people aspiring to join IPS?
Well, young people, so the route is pretty clear. It's the civil services exam. So assuming you're just starting college, the number one thing I'd recommend is start reading newspapers, because newspaper reading will be the absolute fulcrum of your entire preparation. Find two good national dailies, stick to them like a ritual, spend an hour on them every day in the morning. Then there's a bunch of standard books. This list is easily available online. 8 or 9 books. You need to read these over and over again. And after that, select your optional. Take your optional. There's an optional exam, which is a very important part of the exam. So choose it based on interest, not just because something is scoring. And put in the hours. This is an exam which requires 6 to 7 hours of concerted effort day after day for a very long period of time. So prepare yourself for hard work. And I think this is a period of life, the phase from 18 to 25. How you spend this time is going to have a disproportionately large bearing on how the rest of your life may pan out. So please take these years very seriously, make sacrifices, and I'm sure you'll get your rewards in the future.
Any advice for, you know, the people who probably won't pass in the first try and they got rejected? Would you tell them to keep going? Try it another time, the exam.
Failure is the greatest teacher. There's absolutely no shame in failure, not just in this exam, but in absolutely any walk of life. So yes, if you fail, so there's this movie, 12th Fail. This game was tendered by one of the characters to the protagonist, who is also an aspiring IPS officer, played by Vikrant Masse's character. If you don't succeed, restart. There's a very nice, catchy song. So this is my advice to all people who don't clear the exam in their first go. Restart. So no work is ever lost. Your hard work that you invested in your first attempt, it will return to serve you in your subsequent attempts.
Fantastic. Okay, lastly, Arsh, why do you think people should read your book?
Okay, so the Velvet Hotline, for a number of reasons. One, it's a very fun, enjoyable, entertaining novel. So it has a number of genres. There's a lot of adventure in it. There's crime, there's mystery solving, there's humor, there's heart, because you don't want to be too heavy about a novel which concerns suicide, right? You want something to temper it out. It has a very kind-hearted and lovable protagonist who I'm sure you'll fall in love with, Ayingbi Mayingbam. She's a Manipuri woman, so and you don't get too many of those, or so I'm told. So I hope this will be refreshing for readers. The book also has gentle, subtle, but deliberate feminist themes. So if that is thing up your alley, I think you'll like that too. And finally, the book, ultimately, after all the pulpy thrills, the book carries a message of hope and empathy. And I think more than anything else, this is the point I wanted to convey. And this is the message, the closing coda of the book. This is what I hope the readers take away. So if any of these things appeal to you, I'm sure you will really enjoy The Velvet Hotline.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Harsh. And I think we definitely need that in our world right now. A lot more hope and empathy. Thank you, Harsh. Thank you very much for being part of this conversation. And good luck to your book. And I hope, like all the listeners here, grab a copy of your book. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manu. Thank you so much. Had a lovely day. Thank you.